Blog Talk Radio.
My story. Everybody have a story to tell. Everybody is dealing with something or some phenomenon. And today we have a wonderful lesson today. You're ready, your host, Pastor Mina Livingston, with Push My Story. So at this time, we're getting ready to get into the lesson as outlined. Today we want you to turn to the book of Genesis, the 17th chapter, the 18th chapter, and the 19th chapter. My emphasis is coming out of the 26th chapter of Genesis. And I want you to realize that it's a time to not look back. There's a time for everything. It's a time to not look back. And we may not cover all this, but we'll cover as much as possible. So we also coming from the book of Micah, the 6th chapter, because there is an answer for our solution today. So we're going to begin reading at Genesis. And let's look at the 19th chapter and the 20th verse, okay? And I'm going to read from the King James Version, and then I'll read from the New National Version. Behold, now the city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Let me escape, and my soul shall live. Now, if we look at the New National Version, it says, look, here's a town near, enough to run to. It is small. Let me flee there and let my life be spared. Now, we know at this particular time, the Lord heard the outcry of the people in Sodom and Gomorrah. He heard, he saw, he witnessed all the sin and all the destruction, the fornicating, the adultery, serving idol gods, worshiping the devil. God seen these things and he heard these things, and people were loving it and they were desiring it and they didn't want to change. So what happened is when people don't want to change, something happens. When you say, well, some change is good for the best. Yes, there's change that's good for the best, a positive change, a righteous change, a goodness change. But change is good when the change is being modified to glorify our Father. People don't want to change because they love sin rather than righteousness. and figure, you know, well, we have a good time and we love what we're doing and we don't want to change. We love fornicating. We like telling lies. We love serving idol gods. We love fornicating and we love, you know, to do all the evil. But there is a breaking point. There is a time where God is going to put a stop to it all. And at this particular time, you know, Lot was worried because when the angels told him and his daughter and his wife to leave, to get out of the city, to run for their lives, and do not look behind, do not look back, because God is going to destroy this whole city. Lot thought about it. He thought, well, if we got to run, and we got to run beyond the plains, and we got to go up to the mountain, we got to go to the city, the next town is Zoar, are we going to be able to make it? Because what God does, you know, it may affect the whole area. It may affect not just Solomon, also Gomorrah and all the surrounding cities. Lot thought about that thing. But you know what? Even after he talked to the angels, God even still had favor and was gracious to Lot. And he said he would grant him, and he will be able to flee to Zoar safely, him and his family. God is so merciful. I want to say this. We take God's love and his mercy for granted. But when you really think about it, how many times God has brought you out of trouble? How many times have God, when you were on the edge and on the edge of giving up, and yet something changed in you, something deep down in your heart told you, you can make it if you try, you can make it. Something tell you, gave you something gave you a push, something inspired you, and you got all this strength from nowhere. Where do you think that come from? That is the spirit of the Almighty God that loves you just that much, that he has compassion on you. He has compassion on all of us. So the thing about it is, he is a fair God. He looks down, he weighs, he analyzes everything. He knows your heart. He knows before you even answer. You say, well, why do God even go through all that if he knows everything? Principle of the matter is that you don't know everything. The principle of the matter is that God wants you to know. Many times we make decisions, and many times we make the wrong decision because of wrong information, or because we were influenced, or because somebody lied to us. Something happened to make us to make the wrong decision. That is why we need God that much. We need his word. We need to stay in the word of God, to hear the voice of the Lord, to hear what he has to say, that would guide us and lead us into peace and joy. See, God's intention was that you live a holy life and that you live eternal, that you will become immortal and you'll be able to live forever and always. But he only asked one thing, that you will what? That you will live holy, do justly, to love and be humble, to have humility. But many times we prefer to put that to the side and take matters in our own hands. Now, how can we fix this? All this chaos that's in the world, everything is going haywire. Everything is going against God. Now, God is patient. He hears the prayers of the righteous. They crying out to God, and they put it in God's hand. But yet God is still full of compassion and full of grace. That even he knows your story. He even knows why you do what you do. But God is a healer. God is a healer of the heart, the soul, the mind. Because this is where we need healing at, in our mind. The scripture says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become brand new. That is true. But we have to continue to make things brand new. We have to continue in the Lord because we have to receive the knowledge of God. We have so much world in us, and we done took on the styles of the world. We done took on the nature of the world. We have just full of the world. And there's no way that you can serve God with all that in you. So we have to what? We have to empty out and put in righteousness. We got to put on love and kindness. We have to put on faith. We have to put these new things in. So you can't put new wine in old bottles because they will burst. So my point is, when you got to get the world out of you, and the only way that you're going to be able to get the world out of you, you're going to have to spend some time with God, read the Word of God. You're going to have to soak in the Word of God. You're going to have to drench in the Word of God because it's got to be a renewing, the renewing of your mind, the renewing of your spirit, the renewing on the outside. See, the Bible let us know in the book of Romans, he said to transfer the renewing of your mind. We have to renew our mind because our mind, our heart, our body is sick. We are sick inside. We are dead man bones. And what happened is we have practiced this world all our lives, and we find nothing else to do what we do. We see, we do. We hear, we do. Whatever the monkey do, that's what we do. So God has given us a new plan, and he's full of grace, and he said, look, all I ask for you is to do justly, to do good, to have love for one another. That's all God ever asked for. I think that is just so beautiful. But you know what? So many just love to sin. I could just imagine by faith when Lot said to the angel, he said, look, if we run to the plains, if we run to the mountain, we're not going to make it. We're going to be demolished when this disaster comes. And when God said, I'll spare your life, you got to open your mouth and talk to God. You can't just assume anything. You have to open up your mouth and talk to God about your situation. I don't care what the situation is. The thing God wants you to do is don't look back. He don't want you to glance. He don't want you to consider. He don't want you to have regards to what happened in your life. He doesn't want to hear about, what happened in your past, how you was raped, how you were mistreated, how you were abused, how you were, whatever you went through in your life. God don't want you to look back. He wants you to forget those things which are behind and press towards the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ. If you don't, you're going to turn to a pillar of salt because it's not worth looking back. You can't call the years back. Those things that happened, they're gone. And God can heal you from the pain. He can heal you from the sorrow. the things, I mean, the enemy brings back to you and try to destroy you with the things that's in the past. But you got to go forward. You got to march forward because God got greater things. God got high heights, and he got great things for you. And there's so much is waiting for you. But you can't get there if you stuck in your past. You cannot get there looking behind you. You cannot look behind and think about the negative thoughts and all the woebegones and all the evil that has transgressed and done. You have to forget those things. You have to have forgiveness. Forgive so that you can be healed. Forgiveness comes healing. Did you know that? When you forgive and when you release it, this healing, this peace, this joy that you are missing. God don't want you to look back. I can imagine what Lot's wife, you know, she lingered behind. You know, they all came out of the city, you know, holding hands, you know, and coming out the city and running for their life. His two daughters and his wife decide to lagger behind. You know how you lagger behind. You're not trying to keep up. Really, you don't want to keep up because you got another plan in mind. And she just couldn't bear the thought leaving that place. Now, I know curiosity kills the cat. That's an old saying. But sometimes, you know, if somebody tell me something that's going to be destroyed and don't look back and run for your life or you be consumed, there is no way that I would take a glimpse back. She looked back, and when she saw what she saw, it was too devastating. She couldn't take on. There was no way that she could survive that. Because it's two powers overwhelming. When God tells you something, He tells you for your own sake. He tells you because there's some things you just cannot bear under. There's some things you just cannot tolerate. This flesh body cannot tolerate the powers there are, the power of God. Because sometimes, you know, we say, Lord, give me all that you have. No, you don't. You don't want all that because you're not going to be able to bear it all. You're not going to be able to bear all that God has for you at one time. He give it to you little by little. He does that because he wants you to understand all about love. He wants you to understand about being just. He wants you to understand what humility is. This is the type of life that God is asking us. And many times we say, Lord, what can we correct? How can we correct our sins? How can we make this right, Lord? The only way that you can make it right is to do justice, to have love and humility for one another, for God. This is all God asks for. That's not a whole lot. It ain't cost you not one dime. You have not lost one thing. What you gained was eternal life. And what you gained was life and peace here on this earth. He didn't say that you wouldn't have trials and tribulation. You will be able to bear the things that you have to confront, the things that you have to face on your job, the things you have to face in your home, the things that you have to face with your coworkers, the thing you will have opposition. You shall have opposition. It's not going away. It's how you handle the opposition. It's how you deal with Satan. It's the way you deal with the darkness. It's what come out of your mouth. It's your action, your attitude towards it, your emotions. This is what God is looking at. See, when your emotion is tied up and you're drenched into the world and you just know nothing but the world, no, it's not going to come overnight. It's a process. We're a work in progress, and we are constantly changing each and every day, but we have to stay with God. We have to hear the word of God. We faith come by hearing the word of God. We have to listen to what the word of God is saying in order for us to be holy. We are serving a holy God, a real God, and he needs real people. God has holy people. God do not need a false people. He doesn't need hypocrites. He don't need liars. He doesn't want that. God is holy. He's pure. He is a righteous God. And all he ever asks us is to live holy. But we look at the world and we see the things that's going on in the world and we want to be just like the world. In our government, they're passing all different type of laws, laws that God is totally against. And what is happening is when they do this thing, they're bringing destruction on America. They are bringing the destruction that was in Sodom and Gomorrah. They are doing the same thing in America if we do not change. But I promise you one thing. God is a fair God. He's a just God. He's a merciful God, and he is a forgiving God. And the one thing about God is if you open your mouth and talk to God, just like Lot did, when he told him, look, you get out the city and run for your life, Lot thought about some things. He said, now, if God's going to destroy this city and I'm going to the next town, next small town next to it, am I going to be consumed? Will I survive? Because he knows the power of God. When you know the power of God, don't you know that the power of God, don't you know God holds the seas in the palm of his hand? Do you know the God that will turn this world upside down? Do you know that this God that we serve is a God not only of love and peace and joy, but God will turn this world upside down? He will destroy it in a matter of few words simply because he wants a family. He wants a righteous family. He wants those to serve him and appreciate what he has created, his designs, his objectivity, and everything that he gives us. He wants us to appreciate it. He wants us to love it. He wants us to enjoy it. But he wants us to glorify him and thank him for those things that he gave us. This is not my home. This is just to prepare, to dressing up room. This is just to prepare me for heaven because there are positions in heaven. There are all kind of things in heaven that God wants to give you that you haven't even seen. Eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard the good things that God has prepare for them that love him, unless it's been revealed. Now, he can reveal it, but he's not going to reveal it until you get a connection, when you have that relationship with God, and when you become one. I'm telling you, it is beautiful just loving God and just hearing how, just want to hear his voice, just want to feel his presence. David said it best, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He is good, and you want more and more and more and more. But you don't know nothing about that because you haven't even begun. You're so tied up and twisted in the world until you feel like there's nothing else. Yes, it is. It's beyond. It's beyond this world. It's beyond humanity. It is beyond amoral. I'm telling you, God is loving, and he's compassionate. And all God wants to do is give you good news and glad times and let you know there is a better life. There is a life, amen, that is eternal, immortal, immortality. We're going to be changed from mortal to immortality, but those that are righteous, those that will live holy, those that will surrender to God, yes, we're going to have to go some things. Yes, there's things that we have to go through because the enemy does not want you to know. He does not want you to have those things that God has prepared for you. You think that you're having a good time now. You think that your money can buy anything. But let me tell you something. Your money cannot buy you love. Your money can't give you peace. You're troubling your mind. You're like a ship tossed to and fro. You're just troubled. You can't sleep at night. You're worried about this bill. You're worried about that bill. You're worried about your children. You can't figure out what's going on the job. You can't figure out why you can't prosper. You cannot figure out why you cannot receive that promotion. And lying and stealing is not going to get it. You have to do it God's way. All promotion and all good gifts comes from the Lord. But we got to humble ourselves and talk to the Lord like Lot did. Lot talked to God. He knew God, and he knew that, he said, there's no way that we can make it to the plains and to the mountains. There's no way we could do it. And you have to talk to God and just say, Lord, there's no way I can do this by myself. Lord, there's no way that I can fix this situation that I am. Lord, I know, Lord Jesus, you can fix my marriage. Lord, I know, God, you give me peace on the job. Lord, that promotion that belongs to me, Lord, I know, God, that if I just serve you, God, that that promotion is mine, Lord. I earn it. I deserve it, Lord. I work hard for it. I prove myself to you. When you know your record before God, like Hezekiah did, Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and cried out, God, told God, you know the way that I take. You know what my heart is. You know what's in my heart. God is looking at your heart, not what you say and what you do. He's looking at the motives in your heart. He's looking at why you do what you do. He's looking at your agenda. He knows that you got an agenda that no man can read but him. God is the only one who knows your heart. God knows that heart, why you do what you do. And sometimes we do what we do is not even fitting for the kingdom of heaven. Because the things that we think in our heart, and we think that we can practice witchcraft, and we think that we can do all these evil and to get what we want, we cannot receive anything from God. You have to come clean with God. You got to be honest with yourself and tell God, look, God, I'm a wretch, a sinner, and I need help. I have a lying spirit. I can't stop lying. I got a fornicating spirit. I can't stop fornicating. I have this witchcraft spirit that I just got to be always trying to figure out how I can get things for myself. And you think that God doesn't see your heart. He knows your heart. The Bible tells us, who knows the heart? Your heart, let me tell you something, your heart is nothing but your soulish man. The soulish man is made up of your thinking, your thoughts, your emotions, how you feel. That's you. That is you, my friend. So when I'm telling you about your heart, your soul, I'm talking about your heart, your soul, and your mind. I'm talking about what you think, what you feel, and why you do what you do. When you do things that's underhanded, when you do things in secret and nobody knows and you say no man see it, God sees it. God sees it. And God is looking at you. God is forever mercy. He's giving you a chance to repent. He gives us a chance to make it right. So how can we correct these things? The only way we could correct it is do justly, to love and have humility, to do the will of God. That's the only way. The children of Israel had that same question. After they had sinned, after they had what they had done to others, to the poor, how they used the poor, they made merchandise out of them, they made slaves out of them, and how they took their belongings, and how they took their lives, they took their family, their food. There's no different than today. There is no different. It's the same thing. But we have to look. be fair. We got to do justice. We got to do right by God. We have to be free from guilt and blame. We have to be fair across the board. No prejudice. No respect of person. No certain, you know, capacity that I have to be in to be accepted. But we have to be like God's children. We are made of different. But God loves us all. And we are together. Come together as a puzzle. We can make a great city, a great nation, a great country. God bless you. May heaven smile upon you. May the Lord continue to bless you for these words. Okay, can you just call? Yeah, but just hold up, you know, because this stuff come on the radio. Just hold up, you know. Am I parked behind you? I'm not parked behind you, Emma.
Yeah.
Thought I moved my car. Never when I went to the post office, Bob. Well, you're going to have to do something like this. Get out of hand.